Ratings agencies get the third degree again on Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Executives from Standard & Poor's and Moody's are before Congress at the moment getting grilled about their close proximity to economic crises, including the housing crisis and their faulty ratings for mortgage-backed securities. And then there's the drama that continues to unfold with the U.S. debt ceiling. Those agencies may again play a key role in the economy by downgrading U.S. credit. One of the people testifying today is Professor Lawrence J. White of the Stern School of Business at New York University, and he's with us now. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
What are you planning to tell the panel today?
Dodd-Frank Act is at its one-year anniversary. A major piece of the Dodd-Frank Act was to eliminate the automatic use of ratings for safety and soundness regulation of banks and pension funds and money market mutual funds. And that elimination is all to the good.
Why do we still care what the ratings agencies have to say?
They messed up big time with the mortgage-related securities.
Yeah.
And in that area, their reputation is clearly shot. But in the area of corporate bonds, in the area of municipal bonds, in the area of sovereign debt, which U.S. Treasury bonds are in that category, their reputations are still intact.
Why can't we blow up the system when it so clearly doesn't work, especially as you mentioned in the mortgage-backed securities?
I would love to blow up the system. Unfortunately, regulators have found this reliance on ratings to be an easy thing to do. The regulators have an easy route right now. They are reluctant to change.
Professor Lawrence White with the Stern School of Business at New York University. Professor, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are off right now. The NASDAQ off about 1.5%, and the S&P 500 close to that. The Dow down 98 points, 0.8% at 12,403. Orders for durable goods fell by more than 2% last month, blamed in part on slumping aircraft demand. Plane maker Boeing raised its outlook today and reported a 20% rise in profit last quarter. Insurer Aetna also saw profit go up about 9%, but another insurer, WellPoint, saw profit fall a little. The state of Arizona is hoping to save at least $500 million by freezing enrollment in some Medicaid programs. Reporter Paul Atkinson wraps up a two-part series on those cuts and the story now of one Arizona couple whose Medicaid coverage ends this week.
June Nelson sits behind several thick binders of medical bills. They document her breast cancer and back problems and the glaucoma, diabetes, and heart attacks of her husband, Bill.
I've had to do this to keep track of all the doctor bills because Bill has so many doctors.
He's had two heart attacks and needed 22 stents implanted to carry blood to his heart. The medical costs wiped out the couple's savings.
We were no longer able to afford our private insurance, and we had to ask the state for assistance.
The Nelsons are too young for Medicare. Bill's 60, June is 58. But 2 years ago, they qualified for a state-run Medicaid program. It's for people without insurance who have catastrophic or chronic medical conditions that bring their income below 40% of the poverty level.
This medical expense deduction program is something that was a godsend.
Nora Nunez is an attorney with Community Legal Services. She's helping the Nelsons after Arizona policymakers froze enrollment in the program to help balance the state budget. It cost Arizona $82 million a year. The Nelsons' coverage ends Sunday, and they can't re-enroll.
There is nothing they can do right now. I am still trying to find options for them.
One alternative is enrolling in a federal program for people with pre-existing conditions. But there's a catch. Enrollees must wait 6 months after their current insurance ends.
I was hoping that there would be an exception for people who clearly cannot afford to wait 6 months, but that is not the case.
Bill may not be able to wait that long. He's needed stent replacements every 6 months. His last was in early June. That means he may need a replacement before the federal insurance kicks in.
It's scary. It's very, very scary. We just don't know where we're going to go with this.
There's always the emergency room, but the Nelsons are still paying off emergency room bills from years earlier. In Phoenix, I'm Paul Atkinson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
More than 100 new reality TV shows are in the works for summer and fall, and a lot of them are focusing on beauty and fashion. But with competition such as Project Runway and Say Yes to the Dress, is there really a market for more? Sally Herships explains.
Wedding dresses, nail polish, jewelry, and the people who sell them. These are the focus of some of reality TV's newest shows. More than 20 are about fashion and beauty. Why?
Reality programming is about the lowest cost programming that any network can produce.
Porter Bibb of Media Tech Capital Partner says a typical reality show can cost just a quarter of what a drama would run.
They pay almost nothing to the reality talent, if you want to call it that.
But those amateurs seem to know how to make it work. Ben Grossman is editor of Broadcasting and Cable Magazine. He says during tough economic times, viewers turn to reality fashion and beauty TV for more than fluff.
So you're not just looking to be entertained, you're actually learning to get something practical that you can use in your life. That's been a huge reason these things are so popular.
Not just with viewers, but with advertisers too. Every time a manicurist opens a bottle of Flashbulb Fuchsia or Atomic Orange, everyone sees the designer label. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, a new study out this week says generosity could be the result of more than just social pressure or charity. Scientists at the University of California, Santa Barbara did some computer tests on whether evolution would select against generosity when there's no chance of payback. Like when people tip a waiter they'll never see again or a valet attendant. What did they come up with? Being generous could be evolutionary. Humans just want to be nice. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Online at marketplace.org, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
I say steam power, you say what? Locomotives? Industrial Revolution? Robert Fulton, maybe? Nuh-uh.
We throw away an amount of heat from making electricity that is sufficient to heat almost all of the buildings in the United States.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Sustainability through steam. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.